me that your superfine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell.
Such a great song. I love the Dan. You know, we've talked about this before, Tom, but that's such a divisive band. Because I don't know anybody who says Steely Dan, they're okay. It's either you love Steely Dan or you hate Steely Dan.
Well, any major dude will tell you.
Yeah.
They're the greatest band of all time.
They're one of the greatest bands of all time. It had thousands of men crying at Poplar Creek when they reunited. Including me, weeping, hugging my friend John after Deacon Blues. They played Deacon Blues. First song they played was Deacon Blues, and it was at the Rock and Soul Review of Poplar Creek. And there's Becker and Fagan up there, and they bust into Deacon Blues, and we flooded Poplar Creek with tears, man tears, men hugging and crying. It's a fantastic moment. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. So there's this great place called the Chicago Board Game Cafe. And you can have some food and you can play some board games. Well, obviously, you know, because of the pandemic right now and the quarantine, you can't go to the Chicago Board Game Cafe, but they can bring the Chicago Board Game Cafe to you. Eric Garneau is one of the people at the Chicago Board Game Cafe, which is located at 1965 North Milwaukee. When they return to service, they're open from 4 p.m. to midnight daily. And you can check out ChicagoGameCafe.com, ChicagoGameCafe.com. I just love the whole concept of this. And I love what they're doing during the pandemic. And we have Eric Garneau here. Hi, Eric.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
How you doing, man?
Doing all right. I just want to say I think Steely Dan is pretty okay.
There goes my theory. Right there. Welcome back. We've been on the show before, Eric.
Yes. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. And I just, like I said, I love the concept of the Chicago Board Game Cafe. I just think it's so great. Where'd the idea come from?
Oh, man. I mean, board game cafes themselves aren't really a new thing. There's probably 100 or so around the world. I know that our founder, Max Temkin, who's one of the creators of Cards Against Humanity, was really inspired by places like Snakes and Lattes in Toronto or Cafe Mox in Seattle, and just always wanted something like that to exist in Chicago. And I have as well. Like, to me, just nothing brings people together more than a good meal and good games. So that's kind of what we've been working on for 3 years. Unfortunately, bringing people together right now is kind of a tricky prospect.
Yeah, you can't do it. By the way, I want to thank you guys for sending a gigantic case full of Cards Against Humanity to us.
yeah, you're welcome.
Because I said I'd never played the game before, and you guys rectified that situation, I'll tell you. So
I think Jen was on with me last time. Community manager. Yeah, Jen's amazing.
Yeah, she's great. So that's pretty cool that Max Temkin is the co-creator of Cards Against Humanity. That game is hugely popular.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that it's like homegrown. Like some kids from Highland Park, their offices in Lincoln Park. Like it's a Chicago thing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's nice to know. So how long has the Chicago Board Game Cafe been around?
Oh, you know, about a month. February 14th to March 14th, real solid history there.
Well, it's going to, you know, once this all goes away, and we hope it's soon, you get the business back open, and you'll have a bunch of people in there, you know, playing board games and eating. So you yourself, Eric, you a big board game fan?
I am, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and what are some of your favorites?
Oh, man, well, it's right now I just finished a game of Pandemic Legacy with my girlfriend, which I know that sounds crazy. Like, why would you play a game called pandemic, during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's just to feel like you have a little bit of control over everything that's happening. But it's a take on this classic cooperative strategy game called Pandemic, except that the legacy in the title means that as you play the game, you're changing the game. So it takes place over the course of a year. You play one or two missions every month. And as you play, you're altering the board and the characters you play and really everything about the game. So it like tells the cinematic story as you go through it. It's really awesome. We had a blast playing that.
Yeah. Now, do you always look for are you always on the lookout for board games, new ones and weirder ones or offbeat ones?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I'd say, I'd probably spend an hour or so a day just looking at board game news sites and Kickstarter and seeing kind of what people are playing. Ultimately, I think it's important to trust your own taste. Like something we try to do at the cafe is kind of curate, because there's thousands of games out there. We just want to make sure that we're giving people stuff that we really like. But yeah, always on the hunt.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So the cafe now, it is obviously it's closed for because of the pandemic, but we'll reopen. How does it work? Do you make reservations? So if you walk into the cafe, what happens?
Yeah, so the cafe is reservation-based, that's right. So we have been using Tock, which is a pretty notable Chicago restaurant reservation system. I guess it's not just in Chicago, but like Alinea and restaurants like that use it too. So you pre-book a table and you put down a $30 deposit per person that is fully applied towards your food and beverage purchases, and then we have game teachers who will come to your table and help you learn a board game of your choice.
That's fantastic. And and while you were open for that 1 month, Eric, was business good?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of a bummer to lose all the momentum of that opening rush that we got. We have been able to kind of parlay that into a delivery and takeout service, which has been pretty nice.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna jump into that and talk about that you guys are actually delivering food and games to people who are stuck at home, and everybody's stuck at home, and I think that, that's awesome. Eric, hang on. Eric Garneau is with us. He is with the Chicago Board Game Cafe. Obviously closed right now, but it's such a great concept. Go in, make a reservation, have some food, some drinks, and play some board games and learn some new ones. They've got some. We're going to get into some of the weirder or stranger board games with Eric, and then we're going to talk later, a little bit later on, about your favorite board games and the best board games of all time. We'll talk about an article about that. But yeah, Game On, Chicago restaurant delivering food and fun board games during the coronavirus stay at home period, and we'll get more details on that with Eric right here on 720 WGN. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, and we're here until 4 a.m. We've got a round of Know Your Onion coming up. That's where Tom will quiz a couple of callers by giving them a news headline, and they have to figure out whether it's a real news headline or from the satirical newspaper, The Onion. We've got classic comedy that we play from Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson's show you can watch every night on Antenna TV, and I highly recommend it. It's so awesome. One of our favorite characters that Johnny would portray on the Tea Time movie is Art Fearn, so we've got some classic Art Fearn coming up. We're also going to talk about some of the biggest sports scandals ever. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are also going to talk with Neil McQueenie, who is from the Midway dispensary, a marijuana dispensary. We're going to talk about how the current epidemic is affecting their business and how their business is going. Eric Garneau is with us right now, though. Chicago Board Game Cafe, which is obviously closed right now, but it's at 1965 North Milwaukee. You can check out chicagogamecafe.com. Eric is with us. But, Eric, you still want people to eat, and you still want people to play board games, so you started a delivery service in order to actually bring food and board games to people who are stuck at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in many ways, this is the best time to have good food and especially games like at your fingertips, you know, and even though you can't come get it from us, we figured, well, maybe we can help bring it to you.
Mm-hmm. And now the delivery, obviously, it's it's going to be within safe distance and all that stuff. And
yes, it is contactless, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And and how can people do this if they want to, you know, how can people do this? You can just go to Chicago gamecafe.com to check it out.
I've got an even better URL for you. How about chicagodinnerandgame.com? We'll take you right to our ordering site. It has a version of our menu on it, so lots of entrees, small plates, desserts, some drinks, some cocktails, some beer, and then a lot of games and puzzles, other merchandise. So you can get all sorts of stuff brought right to your house, and you can pick it up from our retail window. Because weirdly enough, we thought it would be funny to put a pickup window in our little retail shop in this space, not knowing how important that would be a month down the line.
Wow. Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That worked out okay for you then.
It really did, yeah.
It says here, CBS Local says, if being stuck inside has you missing your weekly game night, a recently opened cafe in Bucktown, as you covered, it's the Chicago Board Game Cafe, is now delivering family-style dinner, board games, and even drinks to customers amid the coronavirus outbreak in Chicago. And then they talk with the co-founder, Max Temkin, Eric, in this article. And it says, in the whole history of humankind, no matter what craziness happens and what history brings, people always laugh and they will always play games, says Max Temkin. Just because the times are scary and people are stuck at home doesn't mean that people don't want to play games and connect with each other and have those kinds of experiences. Temkin, who is also a co-founder of the popular game Cards Against Humanity, understands the importance of taking one's mind off of the uncertainty many people are feeling. We thought it would be a good service to figure out how to get games to people and get them what they would keep them a little bit of a feeling of normalcy and comfort back into their lives. Avoid board games. Available board games range from classics like Scrabble to the more obscure games like Temkin's recommendation, Nine Tiles Panic. Okay, tell me about Nine Tiles Panic, Eric.
Nine Tiles Panic, it was one of our games on tap, which was this series we had that kind of spotlighted, you know, yeah, more obscure, out-of-the-way games you may not have heard of that are easy to learn, easy to teach, lots of fun. So this, in particular, is an imported game from Japan. Like the title says, you are building cities out of nine tiles on 3x3 grid, and you have to build cities that satisfy certain conditions based on the scorecards in each round, and the cities have kind of fanciful elements in them, like you'll have boys, girls, dogs, aliens, FBI guys, hamburgers, and you're trying to get like as many of those things into your city as you can to score the most points. So it's really fun. It's called Panic because it's timed, so once one person finishes their city, everybody else only has until an hourglass runs out to finish theirs.
Oh, wow.
It's great.
Okay.
Super good.
That sounds fun. And additionally, for anyone worried about trying a game they've never played before, every order comes with a video chat with a board game professional that explains the rules to help you set up the video game, or set up the game. That's really cool, Eric.
Yeah, so we've been able to keep a lot of our staff on payroll during all this, which is really wonderful. And so the game teachers are they're available by Google Text or video chat to take questions and help you learn how to set up and play games every Tuesday through Saturday is our hours from 5 to 9 p.m. So it's a really nice way to like kind of give some sense of normalcy both to the like whole proceedings, but also to just our regular operations, you know?
Okay. All right. And once again, Eric, the direct URL for reservations?
ChicagoDinnerAndGame.com.
ChicagoDinnerAndGame.com. ChicagoDinnerAndGame.com. And you said 5 to 9 Tuesday through Saturday, correct?
Correct.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's really, really cool. Are you surprised that, you know, because board games are flying off the shelf and jigsaw puzzles. We were talking about jigsaw puzzles last week. Everybody's doing jigsaw puzzles. Tom went to the store. Where did you go? Walmart?
I went to Target on Wilson and Broadway.
Target at Wilson and Broadway. No jigsaw puzzles. None.
Man, I've had an order of those pending for literally a month. They're supposed to be shipping this week. It's crazy.
Yeah, but we were just talking about how that's a simple thing, man, and it can bring people together. Like you can work on a jigsaw puzzle together. And are you at all surprised that like board games are incredibly popular despite the fact that it's like there's no computer or no screen involved?
No, I'm not really, because I think, you know, everyone's feeling this intense cabin fever right now, right? But also this need to, like, connect with others. And I think board games kind of let you do both, because it is this, like, very analog, classical connection with the people that you're, you know, for lack of a better term, hold up with.
Yeah.
But also lets you get out of your circumstances and kind of escape the doldrums of the everyday and, you know, just enjoy something that feels like maybe it's out of the ordinary, just not a part of this being inside the stay-at-home order.
Yeah, it's also not only that, but board games, you know, people, I think, are emotionally attached to board games, and they're very nostalgic, and it brings back really wonderful memories of, you know, times before and your childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really true. Games connect to things that we all grew up with, but also, like, especially now, people say we're in this, like, golden age of board games, so there's all sorts of innovations and interesting things being done. So it's a really cool mix of, like, the nostalgic and the novel.
Let's talk a little bit about, you were talking about innovations and things that are changing, and this is the golden age of board games. Tell me a little bit about why we're saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the nostalgia is kind of the beginning of that answer. We see lots of things that people grew up with when those people grew up to have money. Kind of, they start to innovate and reinvent and bring back things. We saw that with, like, I'm a big dork, right? So stuff like Transformers about a decade ago was, like, all the rage, all those 80s toys. I feel like board games are kind of in that sweet spot where, like, people who grew up playing the classics like Monopoly, Operation, Yahtzee, et cetera, are now kind of thinking, like, boy, that was really fun, but I wonder if I could apply, like, modern design sensibilities and maybe even some of the lessons from video games to this analog world. And I would guess that's why we're seeing this huge resurgence, not even a resurgence, but like a renaissance of incredible board game titles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the classics that we would play, we were a big Clue house.
Mm.
We played Clue a lot. And obviously, you know, Monopoly, and we would play Life and things like that. But, we also played a card game called Authors, which is one of my favorite card games of all time. Eric, are you familiar with Authors?
I am not.
Authors is a card game that you have four different books by each author. So you'll have, like, Nathaniel Hawthorne, and then you'll have four separate books, and you have to collect all four of them. So it's like it's a draw and pick and draw, and whoever has the most four book sets by each author is the winner.
Nice. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool game. And also, as a kid, I played Authors all the time. So, I knew, you know, like, Robert Louis Stevenson. I knew his books. I knew Shakespeare's books, you know, and plays and stuff like that. Louisa May Alcott was one of the authors. And as a little kid playing Authors, I had a leg up on other kids who weren't playing Authors because I knew who wrote some of these books. And, you know, it's pretty weird for a 7-year-old kid to do, to know that.
Hey, you're talking to an English major here, so I think that's pretty tremendous.
Yeah, it's a great, I know they still, I think they still make it. Do they, Tom, they do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that was a game that we played all the time, and I love that game. And I know that there are different versions of it. The one I had sort of the classic version, but then they've done different versions of it with different authors. They've expanded it. And it's a great game. Not only is it a fun card game, It's a fun game to play, but I'm not kidding. It's a learning experience. And are there any other games like that, Eric, where people learn from playing?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, really you can learn from all sorts of games. It's just what skills are they teaching you?
Yeah.
One of my favorite games that we have at the cafe that actually was designed by one of our staff members is called Competition Kitchen, which is a party game, kind of like Cards Against Humanity meets, like, Top Chef or Great British Baking Show.
Oh,
where
boy.
You're using the cards in your hand to, like, make dishes in, like, an imaginary kitchen.
Oh,
so,
boy, you're right. It's right up my alley, Eric.
It's so good, man, and people love it. Like, it's a party game, but it's also great for families because, like, Cards Against Humanity, you know, they did just release a family edition, which is incredible, but sometimes games like that tend to skew towards older crowds.
Right,
so
right.
It's nice to have a group game that the younger players can get into.
And again, what's the name of that?
Competition Kitchen.
Competition Kitchen.
And that is
Kitchen.
Available on our website, yeah.
Oh, okay. You can check it out on the website, Competition Kitchen. That sounds like fun. All right, Eric, hang on, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Eric Arno is with us, Chicago Board Game Cafe. Closed right now, but you can get food, drink, and board games delivered right to your door. And it'd be no contact delivery as well, as you know. So more about that, and more about board games in general. 312-981-7200. We're gonna get into Eric's brain about some of the board games that are out there and some of his favorites. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's a Wednesday morning. We're here till 4 a.m. keeping you company, keeping you informed, and helping you get through this. And we're all going to get through this together. We will all get through this together. And just know that WGN is here 24/7. 312-981-7200. And we're talking board games. Eric Garno is with the Chicago Board Game Cafe, which is offering delivery service during this time to actually deliver food and drink and board games directly to your door so that you can play board games with your friends and family as you're stuck inside the house. Great great offer, great service. 312-981-7200. Here is Eric. So this is really great. And again, remind everyone, it's 5 to 9, Tuesday through Saturday, correct?
That's right.
And ChicagoDinnerAndBoardGame.com?
ChicagoDinnerAndGame.com.
Oh, ChicagoDinnerAndGame.com. Okay. If you want to make reservations and order some food, and you'll get a game and all kinds of cool stuff. How many games do people have to choose from at the Chicago Board Game Cafe and online?
So we, in the cafe, we had a library of about 500, but I think that's a little daunting when you're just looking at a screen and there's not, you know, staff there to kind of help guide you. So
yeah,
we've got about 25 choices on our site right now, mm-hmm, including a few that we really, really like in our special dinner and a game package at the very top of the page.
All right, what are some of your favorites, Eric?
Man, well, I did just talk about Pandemic Legacy at the top of this show. I got to go hard for that. I'm really into this game called Illimot right now, which is it's a trick-taking game, kind of like Hearts or Spades, with tarot iconography, so the art is absolutely gorgeous. And it was designed by the band The Decemberists, along with Baker and Jen Ellis. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So it's designed to look like this card game that you found in your grandpa's attic or something, but it came out like 3 or 4 years ago. It is tremendous. It's just like so replayable. I've been very, very into that game lately.
And it's called again, one more time?
Illimot. Illimat.
Illimot. Now, Tom is a game geek, as you probably know, Eric. Tom, you ever played that one?
I have not, but I'm a Decemberist geek, and I had no idea that they had made a game. But they're a very multi-talented group of musicians.
Yeah.
It doesn't I think Colin Molloy has written children's books, too, so I figured a game would be next. You know, it makes sense.
Yeah, okay. All right, very cool. We've got some more recommendations and some more maybe obscure ones, Eric, but we got some people who are calling in here. Sean on WGN. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
Just driving home from work, being essential.
Okay.
Yeah, my favorite strategic game of all time is Risk. I think that game is awesome. But it's, you know, nobody wants to ever play it because it takes so long and it's so many little itty bitty pieces. But
yeah,
that's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, no, Risk is a popular one, right, Eric? I mean, you know that. It's a legendary game.
Oh yeah, Risk is incredible. And there's lots of kind of like more modern takes on it that maybe aren't quite as long of a game, so people can play through it in one sitting, because that is like a common problem, is getting a group to play. But yeah, Risk is amazing. Like, you can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't. And always, and every time anybody mentions Risk, I immediately think of Seinfeld with
right,
with Kramer and Newman playing the Ukraine is weak. I'm from Ukraine, and they smash the board across the thing.
Yep.
All right, Sean. Exactly. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. What are some of your other favorites, Eric? Maybe a couple of titles that people might not be familiar with that you would like to recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really like this game called Exploding Kittens, which maybe you've heard of.
Wait.
Yeah.
It's called Exploding Kittens?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. So it's one of the most successful Kickstarter projects of all time. It's a game kind of like Old Maid, but with art from the webcomic The Oatmeal, where the object is to not be stuck with an exploding kitten card or you are out of the game. It's really like irreverent, fun humor, but it's great for all ages, super easy to pick up, and it's just like really fast paced and replayable. Also along the lines of Risk, I want to mention this game Scythe, like the weapon Scythe. It's a war game based in like an alternate kind of 1920s, 30s Europa where the world powers develop like mechs and stuff. So it's like Risk, except you can have robots and there's like a whole narrative story that goes along with whatever your army's up to. That is a really fun one that we like a lot at the cafe.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at Exploding Kittens and it looks like a blast.
Good. That's a good one. It is. It's still fun.
Yeah, no, it looks great. I love the artwork and everything. Exploding Kittens. Okay. Tom, you ever play Exploding Kittens?
I have watched people play Exploding Kittens because I got interested in it. I thought it was an interesting concept for a game. I like the comic artist that came up with it, and I've watched people play it a little bit. It's a good time. It's a silly time. That's all that really matters. You get to have a little bit of silly fun.
Well, we need that right now more than ever. All right, Tom, do you have games that you would recommend that people, as we're all stuck inside?
Well, as much as Sean loved Risk, and he's right to recommend it, it's a classic, I'm going to say don't play Risk because you're going to ruin your friendships, you're going to ruin your family. I think I've mentioned this before. I once punched my brother, socked him in the nose over a game of Risk. So that was maybe 10 years ago. Haven't played Risk since.
My friend Dan was obsessed with that game, and he and another friend of mine would have epic Risk battles. And we were in our 20s, and they'd stay in on a Friday and Saturday night just to play Risk.
You know what I mean? Sounds like my kind of group, man.
Yeah.
I always I like anything that you can play with a deck of cards. Any like, you know, crazy eights or spades. Play a little spades at home.
Screw your neighbor.
Yeah, screw. Yeah, there was one we used to play as kids in camp called Egyptian Rat Screw that I cannot remember for the life of me how to play.
Do you know that, Eric? Name. Do you know that one?
I do, only because, so we have this really nice, very custom deck of cards that we were selling to folks, and we were giving out, like, sheets on recommendations.
Oh, on games. No, sure. Sure.
Yeah. So Egyptian Rat Screw is also one of our favorites. So it's pretty similar to War, but with more slapping. So you want to get all the cards by playing like face-up cards, but also slapping like doubles or runs. So you have to kind of pay more attention to what's slipping than in War.
Yeah. Speaking of card games, obviously Uno, is legendary. That's another one that was big in our house. We played Uno a lot. And we used to, I was in a play called Bitches, and it was all male cast. We were all in drag. And so we would play epic battles of Uno in the green room before and during intermission, before the show and during intermission. And we would take like eight decks of Uno cards and put them all together and then make up our own. We would write with a marker on some of the cards. I'm rubber, you're glue. And then we would have like our own draw 20. You know, that kind of thing. So we would have like these epic battles of, but with the altered, you know, multi-deck game that we would play. And that's another thing, Eric. People can, you know, have some fun with the rules and mix them up a little bit, right, with games?
Oh, yeah. Like one thing that I always tell the teaching staff is it's not as important to be rule sticklers as it is to make sure everyone's having a good time. Like if someone's going to have more fun by ignoring a rule or bending it, like just go with it because ultimately it doesn't matter, right? Like we're not in a competitive tournament. We're just trying to have fun with people that we like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I mean, I know people who alter games all the time. Do you ever do that, Tom?
Yeah.
When you're playing games and you just like, all right, let's
sweeten the deal,
yeah.
Sweeten the pot. Double deck Uno.
Double deck Uno.
Yeah. That game will go on for literally hours.
Yeah, that's what we used to do in the green room when we were doing that play.
It's double deck Uno is the best worst idea for any card game I've ever played because it extends the life of your game. So if you've got a lot of free time, it'll kill time. But people start to get really fatigued and you watch people just straight up kind of like suicide out of the game. They're like, forget this, I'm done. And
yeah.
And really, the last one standing is the one who can keep their sanity.
Well, we know when we played it during that production of Bitches, and that show ran for a bunch of years, so we played a lot of Uno. And it would go on forever. You're right, Tom, and people would go nuts. It was just because, you know, and again, adding that we had, like, draw 20 cards written up and all kinds of all kinds of stuff, you can go a little bit nuts. So, so Eric, you guys, that's nice that you do have, like, a nice deck of cards available, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of really beautiful custom merchandise that the Cards Against Humanity design team worked on, and it's so great. Like, I'm proud to have it just in my collection.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Hey, by the way, here's a simple question. When you deliver the board games, how do you get them back?
Oh, that is a great question. So what we're delivering are brand new board games. So people are just, like, purchasing them for their own collection. Because just right now with, like, his sanitation being what it is, we felt like this was the best solution, is people get to, you know, keep something of their own. If someone's tentative about a purchase, I always say, if you really don't like it, please send me an email and we'll find you something you do like. Because yeah. I don't want to give anyone, you know, make them feel stuck with something they hate. But
yeah.
At the same time, we're pretty confident in our recommendations.
Oh, that's pretty cool. How big is the staff, Eric?
So at our peak, we had about 50. Right now, we've got, you know, there's a few folks who come in to help the deliveries and work the pickup window and stuff. So right now, we're probably at around 15 to 25 people. You know, definitely cut down hours in the space. We yeah. try to keep people working from home as much as possible.
Yeah. And how's it been going so far? When did you start this?
So we, I think our last day in business open to the public was the 14th of March. By that next Friday, the 20th, we had soft rolled out pickup. We hit it hard the next week, and then delivery the week after that. So it's been about a month of this.
Mm-hmm. And the response has been good?
Yeah, I think people are really delighted. We kind of have this privileged, like lots of restaurants are doing delivery right now, but we kind of have this privileged position as a game store, just because there's not a lot of ways to get board games or puzzles or things or like comic books and stuff on demand right now. But the fact that you can have them delivered with a great meal from a restaurant like ours is really cool, and I think people have taken to that really well.
Okay, great. All right, Eric, hang on, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, Eric Arno is here. If you want to jump in here and tell us some of your favorite board games, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Or classic games that you've played in the past and maybe altered, that your family's kind of made up their own rules. I know people have altered, you know, Monopoly as well, you know, classic game like that. 312-981-7200. Board games are incredibly popular, especially now. Everybody's stuck at home, and a great way to spend the time and get your mind off of what's going on in the world is to play some board games. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Eric Arno from the Chicago Board Game Cafe is our guest. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up, Neil McQueenie from Midway Dispensary is going to tell us about the marijuana dispensary out there by Midway and how it's doing during this pandemic. We got some classic Johnny Carson, a little Art Fern for you this morning. Another round of Know Your Onion at 3:30, and we're going to talk about some of the biggest sports scandals in history. And because today in history, Rosie Ruiz faked her Boston Marathon win. And there have been a lot of sports scandals, and we'll get into those as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. And right now we're talking about board games. And also the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Eric Arno is with the Chicago Board Game Cafe. They're closed right now, obviously. But they are delivering dinner and games to your door. So you can get food and drink and board games to your door while we're all stuck inside. And Eric, I think it's great. Now, the question is the delivery going to continue after we finally get over this and you open up again?
That's a great question. I don't have any definitive answers, but I'd say we're looking at it pretty hard, especially because no one really knows how the reopening is going to go. I personally would guess it's probably going to come in phases, just like the shutdown was, you know, no groups over 1,000, 250, et cetera.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I would imagine that we'll be looking at continuing these programs.
Okay. It's such a great idea, too. I mean, it really is. So, all right, Eric, you got a couple of more maybe ones that we haven't heard of, board games that you highly recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me talk about King of Tokyo for a second. So this is a newer take on a very familiar game of Yahtzee. It's Yahtzee meets Godzilla. So you are you're rolling dice to score points or like do damage to other monsters or like get more energy to become the King of Tokyo and be the biggest, baddest monster in the city. This is another really good game for groups of all sizes from, you know, 2 to 6. It works great for families, works great for people who just want to throw some big dice around at night. It's very satisfying to roll these things. They're like a little chunkier than normal, so that's really fun.
I'm looking at the game right now, King of Tokyo. It's got pretty high ratings here on this particular site. And it looks very cool, the dice and the characters and all that stuff. It really looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And so it was designed by the same fellow who did Magic the Gathering, although it's a lot simpler than Magic. But, you know, it definitely shares a lineage of quality board gaming there.
Yeah. Okay. King of Tokyo. I would like that one. You know, I happen to love giant monster movies. So.
Oh, yeah. This is right up your alley.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Okay. What else?
So let's keep on the King theme. I also really like a game called King Domino, which is maybe skewed just a little bit younger, but it was the Spiel des Jahres winner of 2017. Spiel des Jahres is a fancy German term for like game of the year at the big the world's biggest game fair in Essen, Germany. Mm. So this is it's essentially a game of dominoes, but you are drafting the dominoes. So every round you'll see 4 different dominoes with like 2 different types of terrain on them, and you're building a kingdom out of these dominoes on like a 5x5 grid, and you're trying to match terrain to terrain. So for instance, if you grab a domino with like a forest and an ocean on it, you want to connect those to other forests and ocean tiles to score the most points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems cool. I'm looking at this one too online, and it looks pretty great. Another high rating. People like it.
Well, you know, we try to you know, look at what generally does well in the board game world, and then kind of filter it through our own lens. Like, is this actually fun? Do we feel like we could convince people to try it out? So, if it sounds good to you, that's great. That means we're doing our job.
Okay, all right, Eric, are there any the classic ones that are go tos that you still play today? Like you played them all the time when you were younger? Are the some of the classics? I mean, obviously, Monopoly is probably the biggest one, right?
Well, for me, honestly, like I would say in my top 10, if not top 5 games of all time is Scrabble. Even though I've probably played 500 board games at this point, I think Scrabble is pretty perfect. This is true and somewhat embarrassing, but I went on a string of first dates a few years ago where I would play Scrabble on every date and just crush. Like, we're talking like 100 points or more over the person I was on the date with. There were not a lot of second dates in that span, but... you know, my Scrabble record is pretty impeccable. So
yeah, that's a classic game. That one, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with Scrabble. It's a great game. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's see. Here's Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Nick. Hey, yeah, I didn't hear him mention anything about checkers. And that's a game that you can start with the kids playing and to keep them busy and teach them strategy on how to win the game.
Well, yeah, Eric, checkers, obviously. That's a legendary classic.
Oh, yeah, checkers and chess are absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And I mentioned also, they said Yahtzee. I have an Elvis Presley Yahtzee game.
Now, how does that work?
It has your dice, but instead of numbers, it has like a guitar or notes or maybe sheet of paper or something on it, and you roll them, and it's just like the Yahtzee, but except you have to have the guitar or whatever it is on the dice.
So the dice is the difference. It's the same game, but it's just things that are associated with Elvis.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And card game, another card game, is Canasta.
Oh, sure.
My mom started us kids as soon as we were learning to count on that. So then we would learn not only how to win, strategy, and that, but to count our cards for our melt. And you had to have like 80 points to make a canasta. And you had to have two before you could go out.
Right.
And it was something that it can take however long. But this way, the kids can get involved, too, because a lot of the games that they've mentioned on the board games, that's more your teens and older, where some of our younger ones really like to get into it, too.
Yeah. There are a lot of games aimed at kids, Linda. There's a ton of them out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
Linda.
There's just a couple.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Linda.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. There you go. Some card games. Yeah, we used to play cards all the time. My parents would, every Saturday night, would go over to a family friend's house, and they would just play cards, and I would watch. I'd be in their room. I would be in the other room watching the Saturday night CBS lineup. So it would be like Bob Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, MASH, and then the Carol Burnett Show. That was like every Saturday night they would go and they would play cards, different kinds of games, and you know, they would switch up and play cards, which is a fun thing to do too. In addition to board games, is there anything new that you tried out, Eric, that you like?
Oh, man. I mean, we're getting new stuff in all the time. One of the supply chain is kind of a little wonky right now, but one of the last new things we got was this game called Trial by Trolley, which is like a philosophy take on a party game. So it's made by the guys who do the Side 9 and Happiness webcomic that you might have seen on the internet. And the idea is that it's two teams of players, and each is arguing for why a trolley driver should run over a certain track of people represented on a team's card. It's like if you watch The Good Place or something, that classic philosophy problem of, like, if you have a runaway trolley, you know, should you divert it to run over this track?
Or, right.
It also kind of came up in the news lately, you know, with the various political things. So, yeah, there is now a party game version of that. It came out about a month ago. It is really, really fun.
Okay, cool. All right, here's Josh on WGN. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Nick, about Uno.
Yeah, we talked about Uno.
Okay. What about guessing where you put your hand down? One thing, you put your hand down and with different colors and spin to see where you put your hand or feet?
Yeah, I've seen that one. What's that?
Twister.
Yeah, that's Twister.
Yeah, Twister. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, Twister's a good party game. Thanks, Josh. Yeah, I was never into Twister.
It super doesn't work for the board game cafe, so if we don't really have one in our
library. Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I would think people playing Twister right in the middle of the restaurant, that would be a little weird.
Yeah.
That would be a little bit weird. Listen, I love the idea that you're delivering. Let's get all the information on how people can get food, drink, and board games delivered directly to their door and safe contact.
Absolutely. So go to ChicagoDinnerAndGame.com. You can order off our menu, like Nick said, food, games, drinks, all sorts of stuff. We have about a 3-mile delivery radius from our location in Logan Square. If you are outside the delivery radius, we also offer pickup. You also are welcome to send an email to info@ChicagoGameCafe.com. I check that address, and I would be happy to hear from you, and maybe we can work something out.
That would be great. Yeah, and again, if you're not in the delivery distance, different zone, you got the pickup window, and the pickup window is going to be open, and it'll be safe, no contact, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, yep. And again, that's Tuesday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And you can go to ChicagoGameCafe.com for all kinds of information. And also on the website, you guys have a bunch of games that you are selling, and people can check out new games and get information on that as well.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. All right, Eric, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And stay safe, my friend.
You too, guys.
Okay,
take care.
There you go. Eric Garneau from the Chicago Board Game Cafe, offering food, drink, and board game delivery directly to your door safely. We're all stuck inside, man, and we all are trying to figure out what we're going to do. And board games are a great alternative.